All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. November 30th, 2023. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's awesome wherever you are at. It's all perspective, right? It is cold out. I personally like this time of year. I could not live here if it was hot all year. I love the changing of the seasons. So it is great. Crisp air, crisp November morning. This is, the last day of this month. We're heading into December. Shit. I mean, I like football. I watch football. I mean, I don't own any football jerseys, but I definitely like football. And football's like, or it just seemed like it started the other day, and now I think we're in week 11 or something. Football's almost over. It's almost over. Actually, it goes through January, but it's still, time flies, man. Time is flying, and so I try to appreciate whatever comes my way. It is, I'm not a huge fan of winter. I always say March, April, May are the months I hate the most because I've just about had enough. And but this time of year is always fun, getting ready for the holidays, more holidays, a little stressful. But yeah, back to work today. It is Thursday, back to the grind. I ran into my buddy this morning. Good to see you, pal. We'll keep it anonymous, but it was great to see him. It was funny. I guess the word on the street is I'm upset about the steps, right? I've seen a couple people listen to this podcast. I'm not trying to be a miser, right? I just find it super important. And a buddy of mine calls me yesterday. He's like, I was just listening to your podcast, the shit show. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, I just finished working with the steps. And I was like, congratulations, man. That's awesome. He goes, to be honest with you, I was a little disappointed. Probably one of the greatest intros to a song ever. Big fan, Van Halen, 5150. I love that song. Oh, my God. Love it. Yeah, it was funny. I don't know if he was disappointed or had higher expectations or what it was, but I just thought it was hilarious that he calls me. He's like, I just finished doing the steps and meh. And I get it. I absolutely get it. And I told him the same thing I've said in this podcast. It is just a continuous grind on these steps. And over time, they start to change and we start to learn more. But I thought it was great, you know, and I thought, you know, and I was, you know, yesterday my life is fantastic, but I got some things I'm taking care of that really test some of my character and my character defects, I should say better. Maybe that'd be better. You know, creates a lot of fear, anxiety, you know, and it's all like around selling a house, right? I got to sell. I don't have to do anything. I think it would be best to sell this house. You know, we lived in the house for a long time. We used it. We rented it out. And I just feel like we should probably sell it. I don't want to be a rental agent, right? I don't want to. I've been down that road. It's a tough. I'm not cut out for it, right? I'm sober. Not that I don't think that, you know, people that deal with that shouldn't be sober, but, you know, it's tough. And it's pretty cutthroat. And when things go south, I just don't handle it well. So I'm just trying to avoid that. And so I'm trying to think about selling. I'm working, cleaning up this house, fixing it up. I was working on it yesterday. And I'm a little, you know, caught up in myself and thoughts. And anytime money gets involved, I get a little freaked out. And, you know, I think we spend a lot of our time. I know I spend a lot of my time living in the fear and the worry and when things go south and when things go bad, because that's just how my life has always been. It's always been, here's life, and then life goes to shit, and then I got to fix it and dig my way out. And, you know, I don't live like that today. And sometimes it's just as dangerous when good things are happening for me. You know, like, you know, like if we could sell this house, we might be able to make some money, right? And then my mind goes, you know, what are we going to do with the money? What are we going to do? We're going to, you know, let's go on a trip. Let's go on vacation. Let's do this. Let's do that. And that's scary too, right? I don't want to, you know, I don't deal with that. I haven't dealt with something like that ever, right? If we sell this house and can make a little money, I've never done that before. My first wife and I had a townhouse in Easton, Maryland, which we sold. I think we made a little bit of money. A normal amount of money. And I think we put that towards another house. And the problem is it's not a problem. I just don't have another place to put this money. And I don't want to waste it, right? I don't want to, you know, blow it on something stupid. So, you know, I'm trying to reach out to people, trying to figure out, like, if we are to sell this house and we do make some money, what can I do with this money other than just let it sit in my wallet, right, or in my bank account? And so I'm trying to, you know, prepare a little bit for it, but it's, you know, that self-centered side of me is just, it never dies, right? It's always on that, sitting in the corner on that stool, just waiting, right? And, you know, I'm not drinking, right? I'm not doing drugs. I'm not doing anything bad. That's typically how my life would be. A lot of dumb shit going on. How am I going to fix it? How am I going to make amends for this? And it's nothing like that, right? This is all just benefits of getting sober. I'm not saying that if you get sober, amazing things happen, but I think you have better chances of amazing things happen if you're sober rather than, you know, doing what I was doing. I can tell you nothing amazing was happening back in the days when I was doing what I was doing. And so, you know, there's just many facets of recovery and getting sober and how to deal with stuff. And so I've been a little up in my head about this stuff. And my buddy called me yesterday and, you know, he said that, and then we chatted more, and then he was talking about how sort of like he didn't really understand the 12 step, and I go, you know, man, you know, the fact that you called me today is doing some 12 step work, because I needed to talk to somebody. I needed to chat. I needed to kind of, you know, share what's going on in my life a little bit with somebody that could take a few minutes and just sort of listen, and it was good for me to get it out. And I appreciated him calling. And I go, you may not see this, but this is 12-step work, right? You're reaching out, you're helping. And I remember coming into the program early, and I was thinking, what do I have to offer to help anybody? And it's more than we know, right? We can offer a lot of help. We don't even. That's kind of the cool thing about it, is there is no real specific thing that we would call that. Like, he didn't call me to help me. He just called to chat. But him reaching out allowed me to chat, which in turn helped me because I shared with him what I've been going through, and it just let the fucking bird out of the cage, man. And you know, that's awesome. And I appreciated it, and I appreciate him, and it's cool, and I appreciate the fact that he said that, you know, he didn't find as much excitement finishing the steps as he thought he would. And I get it. I definitely get it. Because that's what self wants, right? I have to remember, I am a self-centered person that doesn't have any God in my life. That's what brought me in here, which means that I just think about myself, and I don't have any humility. I don't have the willingness to have a different thought, right? It's always been about me. What am I going to get? How's this going to hurt me? And never having the humility to look at it from somebody else's perspective. And I think that that's what, for me, is what these steps have taught me, right? It's not a, you know, a rainbow doesn't appear and the world just changes. It requires a lot of work, and it requires a lot of work on my part, willingness on my part. And so, you know, working these steps, it's, as a self-centered person, when I did the steps for the first time, that's exactly what I wanted, something awesome. I wanted something awesome to happen to me because of it, and it just doesn't happen. And I think it's one of the first times I realized that I'm not getting everything I want all the time, or at least not in the form that I thought I was. You know, I went to the meeting last night. I went to two meetings yesterday. I went to the morning meeting as Bill sees it, which was fantastic. I'm going to try to get – I want to go to that meeting on Wednesday mornings, at least for the winter. I love that meeting. Great turnout, probably 30, 35 people, all packed into a basement, old school style, reading as Bill sees it. And then I went to my home group meeting last night, and a buddy of mine's no celebration, just spoke, just shared his experience, strength, and hope. And man, did he do a great job. And, you know, and I shared because, you know, he talked about, you know, he was latecomer to getting sober. I think he's probably in his 60s. And, but he's getting ready to, you know, hopefully in January he'll celebrate 2 years, which is awesome. And, you know, he talked about this, the spirituality side of it and his journey. And I love that. And I shared that. I love that he talked about the spirituality. You know, as a kid, I remember going to church and just wanting so badly to talk to God. You know, I thought, this is the building you go to. I'm looking at everybody. That you close your eyes, you tilt your head down, maybe put your hands together, and then it's a direct line with Jesus or God, right? And I searched and searched, and I could not find it. You know, I would try, and I would listen to myself in my head, and I just couldn't get it. And, you know, I look back at it now, and it's because I wanted something from God, right? I wanted him to, I think when I was back in those days, probably just wanted $1 million, right? Dear Lord, I'd like $1 million. And because what else is a 12, 13-year-old kid going to ask for? Maybe a Genesis, right? A new Genesis gaming system and $1 million. But the relationship I was looking for was something to satisfy me, something to get me something. And it never happened. And when I came into this program, you know, I was familiar with, you know, the idea of a higher power or the idea of a God, but I hadn't had much luck. Phew, Jesus. And so I was reluctant. In fact, I really was like, whatever, you know, I'll pray, I don't mind, but I don't necessarily believe. But I hung in there, right? And I, you know, my relationship with God today is 180 degrees different than what I thought my relationship with the higher power or God would be. And I still believe, you know, and it talks about it in the book and other things, but I think there's a difference between God and a higher power. You know, I've said this before, I believe that there's, at least in my life, you know, if the person that I was that came into this program compared to the guy that I am today, I believe that I'm not a higher power, but I believe that I'm at a higher level of understanding of what I am and what I was about and what I'm about today. And, you know, I don't think you get superpowers, but, and like I was telling my buddy on the phone yesterday, and I've used this as an example, like if we're going to go on a spaceship and I got to take four people, you know, I'm going to look at these four people's character. And, you know, you take somebody, we'll just go extreme, untreated alcoholic, right? An untreated alcoholic. Would I want that guy on a spaceship with me for 6 months with nowhere, you know, to get him off or get out of there? Probably not, right? Do I want to be on a spaceship with somebody that's so extreme to one side that, you know, it's but you can't have any conversations, complete separation between the two? Probably not, right? I wouldn't want that either. But would I want somebody that can have a conversation, right? That can have humility, right? That can take a look at every situation and understand if they're right, they're right. That doesn't mean it's they won the lottery. And if they're wrong, it doesn't mean the whole world's coming to an end, right? Do I need somebody that goes from 0 to 100 like that? No, right? And I feel like people that work a program work on that kind of stuff, right? Work on that self-centered side of us, recognizing it, and hopefully, you know, pulling the reins back on it a bit. And so does, you know, if I say, hey, man, you know, you're messy and I think you should clean your little space station room, right? And if that guy's like, fuck you, don't worry about my shit, you know, that's tough, right? Or do I want someone that says, hey, you know, my room is messy and I do need to do a better job? And that's just sort of a silly example. But I do believe after we put down the bottle and work these steps, we do start to see life as a little differently. And we do start to realize, I know I did, I started to realize that, and I love the term, you know, crows best eaten warm, right? Humility. And I had no idea what that was. And so when I started to learn it and started to understand, and, you know, my first real experience with humility was with the shopping carts. I've said this 100 times, but it was a real shift in my life and in my thinking, right? It was like, I never, ever, 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 ever considered anybody else, right? I never considered who's going to have to pick up that shopping cart out there in the middle of the fucking parking lot. Didn't even care. It wasn't me, right? And so as I started to learn and you know, some of this stuff just starts happening naturally, right? I remember putting down the drink, going to a lot of meetings, listening to a lot of people, paying attention, keeping my mouth shut, and started to understand, oh my God, there is something to this. And then all of a sudden, you know, and then, you know, I decided, okay, you're a dumbass. You're a fucking heathen. You can't leave the shopping cart in the middle of the parking lot. And then this whole extreme other version, right? Well, now we have to take it all the way back to the building, not to the holder, but I got to take it all the way back to the building. I want to catch up. I want to be better now. I want to erase all of my bad behavior. So now I'm going to be even better. And that's just another example of me being crazy, right? Me serving self. Because I said, you know, I started taking that shopping cart all the way back to the building, and at the same time wondering, is anybody noticing me? I want to be recognized. And I thought I was doing great. Look at you. You're doing great. It's still danger, right? It's still dangerous because, you know, if other people don't recognize it, then I could get a resentment, right? Then I get pissed. How come nobody else is noticing what I'm doing? Well, you know, no one else is noticing, and fuck that. So I quit, right? You can quit from doing bad, and you can quit from doing too good. I have seen it, and I've shared many examples of that on this podcast. You know, I went to the meeting yesterday morning and, you know, sort of got back into the whole step thing, you know, sharing that, you know, no one's talking about the steps, and the steps are the solution. And, you know, I said, we are, you know, we're the first line of defense. You know, we're the ones going to these meetings. We're the ones, you know, that go back out into the public and try to be a good example. I'm like, you know, after doing these 12 steps, our job is to be there for the next alcoholic. And we're just not really talking about it. And I had a guy come up to me afterward. He's like, hey, can I get your number? Right. And I was like, sure. And, you know, he's like, I had 14 years. I go, that's awesome. He's like, but now I got 288 days. I've been to 288 meetings in, no, what did he say? It was some crazy number. Like, I've been to 288 meetings in a row or something. I'm like, who cares, right? That's awesome, but you don't have to tell me, right? The numbers aren't that important, right? It is important if you're a newcomer and you've been to 288 meetings for the first time. I think that is awesome. But if you had 14 years and then you're coming back and telling me you have 288 days, you know, you're still missing the fucking the boat, bro. It isn't about the number of days. It's about the quality. It's about understanding that the number shouldn't matter anymore, right? I went to, a buddy of mine celebrated his first year. He must have celebrated five times, and I think it's awesome. I think that's fine in your first year, but we can't do that every year, right? Because we're just starting to serve self again. You know, it's not a celebration. We forget. I mean, I'm proud of him, and it's great, and I don't want to sound negative because I'm not, but in the end, it becomes a thing, right? It's not about how many meetings you get to, right? It's about working the steps, figuring out what your problem is, finding a solution, and then helping another alcoholic. That's it. And it's a pretty big deal. I had a little resentment about that, and I shouldn't have, but, you know, I'm proud of him. Anyway, what else is going on? What is this? Let me maybe read. So to wrap that sort of thing up, I was grateful my buddy called me. I needed to talk to somebody, and I probably wasn't going to reach out. So he was doing some great 12-step work. Thank you. And I do understand. And I told him, you know, just keep working the steps. I go, do you need to work all these steps over again with a sponsor? No. And for me, it's always been 4, 5, 6, 7, you know, have always been the ones that kind of, you know, I learn a lot from. You know, obviously, you know, if we work these steps, you know, thoroughly, you know, obviously we can, when shit comes up, we can always use the 10th step to clean it up. But, you know, those actually 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, a lot of 3 and 6 and 7, you know, obviously if you do 4 and 5 really well, you shouldn't have to do those again. But I just remember how 3 keeps evolving, you know, and then 6 and 7, you know, the character defects and the shortcomings and trying to understand that. Jesus, there is a freaking fruit fly up in this salon, and he's dead. Yeah, sorry, fruit fly, but you're dead. Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's just great that he called. You know, we never realize when we're helping people, but we do a lot of help, and I don't know if we always realize it. Let's see, daily reflections. All right. This podcast is a little all over the place. Sorry about that. Like, you got a lot going on. Like this morning, I ran into my buddy this morning and I was telling him, you know, I'm trying to figure out, I got to find someone a real estate agent. And one of the things about getting sober is I have a lot of friends. A lot of my friends are real estate agents. And I was telling him, I go, you know, I got to figure out which one I'm going to lose friendship with, because more than likely, unfortunately, this is one of those situations that probably can bring tension amongst a friendship. And I don't want that. But, you know, I also don't, you know, I think there's some negotiation that needs to take place, you know, with respect, right? But, you know, feelings are probably going to get tested, and I don't want to lose any friends. A good friend of mine, and she's actually a client of mine, she's also a real estate agent, and I don't want to lose her as a client and as a friend, right? So I got to pick and choose how I want to try to figure this out, because I also want to make sure that I can get the most for our house, right? I don't want to not try to get the most because of a friendship. So, you know, that's another thing. You know, you got to deal with this stuff. But, you know, I can do it respectfully, right? I hope. All right, let's see. November 30th, protection for all. Dun, dun, dun. At the personal level, anonymity provides protection for all members from identification as alcoholics, a safeguard often of special importance to newcomers. At the level of press, radio, TV, and films, anonymity stresses the equality in the fellowship of all members by putting the brakes on those who might otherwise exploit their AA affiliation to achieve recognition, power, and personal gain. Understanding anonymity, P5. You know, that is, that's a great topic. Doing this podcast has always kind of, I've always wondered about that. And I talked to somebody about it because, I said, I do a podcast and I talk about recovery and I mentioned the program and they said, well, do you use your last name? I said, I do not. And they said, well, that's fine. I mean, as long as you're anonymous, and I don't make any money on this podcast. I don't sell merch. I have no advertisers. There is no money that gets generated from this podcast. I am not on YouTube. Excuse me. I just like to sit down and chat. And if people want to listen, I think that's great. If they don't, that's great too. I get it. But it was a thing. I do not want to give AA a bad name. I hope I don't. That's why I try to just share what goes on in my life, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And but I will say I do not make any money off this podcast and never will, never plan to, and hopefully I am anonymous. I do not use my last name. So, but it is a thing, right? I always say, listen, work these steps with a sponsor, read the big book, read the 12 and 12, go to meeting every night, don't listen to what I say. You know, don't use – I am not a – a professional sober person, right? I'm just another guy trying to stay sober one day at a time and how these steps, keep evolving in my life. But I absolutely recommend, if you need counseling, go to a counselor. If you need, you should have a sponsor, read these steps, go to a meeting every day, go to two meetings every day and just work on it and keep working on it. But, this is just me sharing my experience and, if you don't like it, don't listen for sure. And if it's bugging you, definitely don't listen. I wouldn't. So, but here we go. Attraction is the main force in the fellowship of AA. The miracle of continuous sobriety of alcoholics within AA confirms this fact every day. It would be harmful if the fellowship promoted itself by publicizing through the media of radio and TV the sobriety of well-known public personalities who became members of AA. If these personalities happen to have slips, outsiders would think our movement is not strong and they might question the veracity of the miracle of the century. Alcoholics Anonymous is not anonymous, but its members should be. And I agree. I said that in the meeting yesterday. I don't understand. I get annoyed when people use their last name. And because first of all, it says Alcoholics Anonymous in the title of the damn program. So just that is a test. And for people that feel like they should use their last name, that's self, right? And you're not doing anything but doing what you're supposed to not do, which is using your last name. And there's a guy in the meeting yesterday that always uses his last name. And I got a little frustrated, not at him, but just in my share that, personalities are starting to get involved in come before principles, and we shouldn't do it. I don't care how much you think you should. It says it that we're not supposed to, right? People have reasons, right? Oh, find me in a phone book. We don't even use phone books anymore, right? But anyway, anonymity is important, definitely. You don't know me. But yeah, check that reading out. It's a great reading. I hope everyone's having a great day. I got to go to work. I love the song. I'm just going to let the song play. I miss Eddie Van Halen. He was so cool. I was watching videos of him yesterday. He's out there playing with Sammy and Michael and Alex, and they're sort of in this little studio and Eddie's drinking beers and, I always knew he struggled, and I watch him, but he's so happy, right? I'm like, how come I couldn't be a drunk and be happy like Eddie Van Halen? I'm sure he had his dark moments as well, but I definitely miss that guy. It's so much fun. These are such great songs. So bear with it, but I'm just playing the rest of the song. Have a great day, and we'll catch you later. Bye.